Welcome to the Big Blue Podcast. I'm Lee Goodson, joined here by my co-host, Dr. Greg Stone. Hello, Dr. Stone.
Hello, Dr. Goodson. How are you?
I'm having a fabulous day.
Great.
So today we are joined by Dr. Doug Price, Director of Faculty Development and Global Learning. And we were supposed to have with him today, but she had a situation, couldn't be here. Amy Raines, Assistant Professor of English. And so today we're going to talk about the Da Vinci Institute Award. And I'm just going to, Dr. Price, I'm just going to give a little bit of background here. In late March, you and Amy Raines were recognized at the Oklahoma History Center for your exceptional work and dedication to excellence and student success, excellence in student success at the 2024 Da Vinci Awards Ceremony.
Thank you. It was exciting.
Yeah, sounds exciting. You were named Da Vinci Institute 2024 Creativity in Education Fellows and received a combined $1,000 cash prize, certificates, and a Da Vinci Vitruvian Man.
That's hard to say.
Do you want to say it for me?
I would not like to try.
Okay. Well, let's spell it for the audience. V-I-T-R-U-V-I-A-N. Okay. We'll have that pronunciation by the end of the show.
I'm going to guess Vitruvian.
Vitruvian.
That sounds great, Dr. Stone.
But that's just
we'll
Vitruvian.
That.
Okay. All right.
I should be able to say it.
We'll get a confirmation on that before the end of the show. Stay tuned. Unlocking creativity through a cross-disciplinary approach to self-efficacy. It sounds very exciting.
It actually is.
It's
yes.
Riveting. So,
well, riveting, yes. Thank you. I was going to say groundbreaking. Riveting.
Yeah, both. Yeah. Congratulations on the fellowship, and tell us about the project.
I will. Thank you very, very much. I just wanted to give a quick, brief background on how this all worked, because it really weaves a lot of elements and components of things that we've done in the past, and it brings it up to the present real quick. But we had Kendra Reynolds, our Fulbright Scholar, about 4 years ago, and she rekindled my passion and interest in writing. And then about 2 years later, I took Alan Culpepper's creative writing class. And so I remember that first January morning, I thought, I'm going to get up and just practice my free writing. And I was going to write for 1 hour, which was insane and stupid. And after two minutes, I realized this is not good. But I said, do 15 minutes. Do not stop. And during that time, I realized there's something I did that was repetitive, and I wrote something just to fill in the gap when I had a brain lapse to fill in that gap. But just to keep pushing forward and pressing myself to get thoughts out, did it for several mornings. Long, long story short, last assignment of that semester in Dr. Culpepper's class, I sat down that early morning to do my 15 minutes of writing, and I said, just do your last essay. And I did in 12 minutes. And I turned it in, and Alan said, that was the best work you did. And it just gave me pause. Something, I hit upon something, right? That was kind of exciting. And so fast forward, that next year, Amy and I, and I think Pam Kennedy, and a faculty member from LaGuardia Community College, and some scholars from Northern Ireland were working on a project together. It never came to fruition, but it's fun to work together. And that's when I met Amy. And I knew that she was willing to step out and things like that. So fast forward to then this 2023, I emailed Amy because I'd been practicing this technique for quite some time, and it was really kind of proving effective for my writing. And I'm not an English professor whatsoever, not qualified to do that. But I said, Amy, I have an idea. Would you mind if I came and maybe presented my what could be a workshop to you and maybe Sydney Teal? This is at Northeast. And there's some other person whose name I do not remember. But she said, sure. So much credit to Amy Raines for taking the chance on me to say, let's try this. So I did the workshop without a lot of dog and pony, just kind of the basic steps of this technique. And what was so amazing was that everything they said in response to what I was working through, they said the exact same things I had done the year before. And I thought, okay, there's something here. Fast forward even quicker, I took the next risk. I took two risks. The next risk was to say, Amy, would you mind if we tried this in one of your classes? And we did. And that was where we struck gold, because students really responded well to the technique to get students into the flow of writing and to remove all the trappings that surround the writing process except one, and that's to write flowingly. And that's hard to do with all students think about, you know, pleasing the professor and high-stakes writing and, oh, I want to make sure I place into comp, so I better write really well for this assessment.
Yeah, they're focused on the product and not the process.
We took everything out. Yeah, so that went really well. And then from that, we began to acquire other faculty who were interested in doing this, and we have about 10 who have been working with us since. And so we're trying to use this technique, which is, well, maybe the technique can be described another time, but in different venues, different ways, online. Worked with Daisha Cunningham. She actually put the workshop into a YouTube video. It was kind of exciting. Blended formats. Actually did dual credit. And I worked with Sean Piesfasser. And so I talked to 70 high school students. That was bizarre. But 70 high school students, they all loved it, it seemed. And that went well. Now, back up 1 month, Sean said at Foolish Things Coffee Shop, he said, "Doug, I like this project. Let's do it in the dual credit environment." And then about a week later, he emailed me and says, "Hey, there's this Da Vinci thing. You need to apply for it." Yeah. So I immediately called Amy. She says, "I'm in." And I emailed Dr. Copeland and said, "Can you co-submit?" And he said, "Yes." So that's how we kind of cut up to the present. But it's been incredibly successful to increasing the confidence in writing and shedding away all the things that keep a student from writing. And it has been literally phenomenal. I don't say that to, it was just crazy.
So yeah, how students responded to it?
They respond very, very well. At first I come in and I have them write continuously, but it's with one word. So we shed everything. I even give them what to write. I just give them the keyword. It could be apple, orange, banana, coffee. It doesn't matter. Just do not stop. Mm-hmm. And after 2 minutes, which seems like an eternity, they're like, "Oh my gosh." And I'm like, "Congratulations, you did not stop. You kept going." And then we move on from there. It's like, did a thought pop in when you were writing that keyword, like, other than, "Why am I doing this?"
Yeah.
And I begin to say, "Now let's just start with the keyword, but when a thought pops in, I want you to write it down. And when that thought stops, go back to your keyword."
Yep, exactly.
Don't stop. Don't stop. And it was incredibly phenomenal. And then we began to you need to know this. This is so awesome. I get excited about it. But then the next step was, let's just talk about, like, just write a diary. No pressure. Just write a diary. You're not going to turn any of this in. There's no pressure for performance. And just write something like that with the techniques. And now we're applying the techniques. This is a very efficient model that gets them through this. And then we end with getting right up next to academic writing, because we all know in higher ed, you're going to be asked to write about, you're going to be told what to write about. You're going to be given prompts, whether it's in history, government, whatever, or composition. And so we just like maybe about the weather, but using the technique and not stopping. And the best experience I've ever had is to watch 15 students writing and not sweating. And then I say, "I'm sorry, it's been actually 12 minutes. We need to stop." And they're like, "Oh." And one student said, "I didn't know writing could be so much fun." So we realize we're hitting upon something. And then the feedback with follow-up sessions, the students have increased in their confidence, their sense of self-efficacy, and mastery over the writing process to get something on the page. That's my goal. Then they can go to the writing lab, the professor, to make it better.
You talked a little bit about how you applied for the fellowship, how you decided to go through that application process. What was the process like?
The process was very simple. The guidelines are very clear. Amy and I actually went back and forth on how to craft the project, how to nest it in current situations. So we actually even thought about the current, status of developmental education courses and how perhaps this might ultimately be part of a bridge program where students could actually go through this to help increase their confidence when they come into college. So
before they come into Comp 1, for
before
instance,
they even go into Comp 1. One of the things that we learned, no secret here, is a lot of students were placed into classes perhaps they may not have, should have been placed in. And what they wrote in these things were just incredible. So the notion is maybe something like this, where students, when they go to test, they might have this type of a workshop, maybe to kind of increase their confidence and now sit down and write and maybe move up a level or so. I heard about the process they go through, and it's pretty daunting to be put in front of a computer and say, "Write 500 words on something."
Sure.
And I didn't realize that's what we were actually doing it by the end of the workshop. So it sets them up well for success and more accurate placement.
And you've talked about working with so many other folks already, Doug, but if someone is wanting to get involved and learn more about the project, maybe join this group, do they just reach out to you or Amy or...
They could reach out to Amy and I. We'd be more than happy to talk about it. Something we're excited about is that there is a student option for the Da Vinci Scholars, and that's something we're going to promote more, and it could be assistance to those students or student who applies to help write their, write their application. And I will, while we're thinking, real quick, there is another element. There was a cash reward, and what we decided to do is to create a Da Vinci Peer Scholar program. So those five students would get a $200 stipend or scholarship, however that works out, to actually co-teach or co-deliver this workshop. Because we asked the students in our feedback sessions with them, what if a student did this and not the faculty? In other words, no pressure at all. They're like, yeah, that'd be kind of nice, but we really would like you or the faculty member to be there mm-hmm. with us. So this idea came up, and to kind of pay it forward a little bit, to really have at least five students, for example, have that experience of helping others learn how to write. So we're in the process of creating that application, and then they would actually be selected this fall and then into the spring. And one more element, sorry, I know you didn't ask about this, but we actually applied for an IRB and got approved. So we want to do a research project on this. So it's all about measuring self-efficacy. And so there'll be a measure of that disseminated before students go through the workshop. And then there'll be a follow-up session. And then afterwards, the same measure of self-efficacy will be done. There'll be some writing samples taken. So just to kind of compare, and we'll have a control group of classes that don't have this, you know, method, this variable that's imposed. And to kind of measure, does this really... Can we actually show that it does? We know it does, right? We have a lot of good stories, but does it statistically show this really moves a needle on students' self-efficacy and sense of mastery?
Well, and we know what really changes the confidence level of students is engagement. But getting out there and doing that for some faculty members sounds maybe daunting rather than presenting the material and being really fully confident about what you know and delivering that information. Engaging students in a more intentional way may sound kind of daunting for some faculty. So what kind of advice would you give to faculty that are getting ready to jump into that space? We know it's some of the best practices we have out there.
I think the best thing is to just, you know, invite us to come in and try the workshop and let them see it and experience and then decide if they have value, if they wanted to do it or not, basically, is what it boils down to. Some say, no, I'd rather have you come in. Sometimes the benefit of a guest speaker to come in and kind of say things, perhaps that they've already said, kind of brings some validity to it.
Sure.
Or, you know, but the idea, if this catches on more and more, the idea of how to make it more efficient so more faculty, if they wish, could adapt it. So that, we're kind of grappling with what to do. So I think this next semester will be pivotal in determining that.
Amazing. Well, you've been listening to the Big Blue Podcast. I want to thank our guest, Dr. Doug Price, for joining us today. Congratulations to you and Assistant Professor of English, Amy Raines. I'm joined here, as always, with my co-host, Dr. Greg Stone. Greg, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Goodson. Thanks, Doug.
Have an amazing day.
Thank you.
Yeah.